Friends, please turn back to 1 Peter on page 1217. 1217, 1 Peter chapter 1. You'll remember last week we started a series in 1 Peter. And February half term is coming up, isn't it? And this morning I've got a surprise for you, a free holiday for one lucky member of our congregation. Oh yes. What would your ideal February half term holiday be? Some continental sun? A quiet cottage getaway? Let me tell you what would excite me. Perhaps a skiing trip. I can just imagine the snow-capped Alps, the sun beating down on those mountains recently covered with fresh snow, a chance for our one-year-old daughter to find her feet on skis, a log cabin in the evening with a roaring fire, warmth amidst the chill. Well, if you received a free holiday this morning, how would that affect your next couple of weeks before February half term? Would it affect them at all? Of course it would. You bet it would. You'd be counting down the days until you go. You'd spend the daytimes dreaming of your destination, perhaps being on the slopes, perhaps that continental sun. Your diary would be rearranged as you make sure you've gone shopping to get all the things that you need and make sure your passports are up to date. A free holiday would affect how you think and act. I'm sorry, I don't actually have it to offer to you. But you knew that, didn't you? But saying I did helps you to imagine it. Imagine being in your dream destination, which gets us right back into 1 Peter this morning. Because, of course, Peter is talking about a better offer, not just for one of us, but for all of us, which many of us have already received. If you were here last week, you'll remember that Joe helped us see in the opening of 1 Peter that Peter tells us home is not where we are, but where we are going. And can I say, if that's not an offer you've yet received, it is an offer to all who would come to Jesus Christ with faith. Home is not where we are, but where we're going, because, well, Christians are exiles in this world. But we've been given new birth, a new identity. We belong to Jesus. We march to the beat of his drum. And this world is not home, because it will be home in heaven, in the new creation with God. We're on a journey home. And we heard last week the journey will be difficult. Christian life will be hard. And so Peter helps us to think this morning, how are we to be on the journey? What does considering the future destination do for us now? And we're going to see, Peter says, it must shape how we think and how we act. We must live in anticipation of the future. Do you see there in verse 15 of chapter 1, Peter's main action for us is to be holy. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. If there's one take-home thing from what I say today, it is that Christians are to be holy on the journey. That is how we are to act, to be. And yet Peter doesn't give us a long list of things to do to somehow achieve that holiness. No, he gives us 7 verses this morning actually on how to think. So as we consider what we must be, we're going to spend most of our time on how we must think. But let's consider firstly those verses, verse 15 and 16. Christians are to be holy. Now, I wonder what you imagine as I say that. In my mind, I think of someone criticizing me for saying, you know, well, you're trying to be holier than thou. You're looking down your nose in judgment at me. And that's not what Peter is saying. Nor is it the idea of putting on a holy front as if we have to cover up ourselves whenever we go out in public and appear with a smile and a halo. No, the simple idea is God says, be holy because I am holy. In other words, God is set apart from the world, and so Christians are to be set apart from this world, whilst simultaneously being in it. God says, be who you are. Be who I have made you. It'll be helpful for us to remember the context that Peter is writing into. He reminds these people of the Exodus story. The very first time God said these words, "Be holy because I'm holy," the people had been saved from Egypt, from Pharaoh the bully, and they were on their way to a new destination, the Promised Land. And as they went, God gave them a better way of living than being enslaved by a bully. Good instructions on how to live. Good for the people themselves, and so that the world outside would recognize that God's people are different. They belong to God. Good for them, and good for us too. God has set Christians apart from slavery to sin. He's taking us home to be with him. And on the journey, God's holy way of life is better than all other ways of life. And our holiness is to shine so others are drawn in to see the God we worship. Being holy is being like God, being like Jesus in this world. Not that we presume ourselves to be gods, but being like him, pure, as Jesus was without sin, just and fair, like Jesus was without prejudice, incorruptible, just as Satan could not buy Jesus with his bribes, loving, just as Jesus showed immense grace, forgiving, just as Jesus refused to repay wrong with wrong, following God, just as Jesus obeyed the words of his Father. Do you know, if God did broadband, it would be the best broadband available. The highest speeds, the fastest service, the best coverage of Wi-Fi that you could require. And God is saying, I am set apart, pure, just, incorruptible, loving, forgiving, and in the power of my Spirit who lives in you, I've created something like a broadband link. So what is posted online at one end, God's perfect, pure holiness, should ping up in you Christians at the other. People should look at us and see God's character. I'm reminded of the great Christian hymn, "May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day." And the final verse says this, "May his beauty rest upon me. As I seek the lost to win, may they forget the channel, seeing only him." Peter says, on the journey, as people look at me and you, we long that they would see God, his holiness, because in his strength we are being holy. God is tasking us to be holy on the journey. It means we're going to swim against the current of the world around us. And it's going to look very specific, but not this morning. Peter's going to get to the specifics from chapter 2 and beyond. We'll get there in a couple of weeks' time. But today we must see the mindset of holiness. You see, as God calls us to be holy, he actually calls us firstly to think. And to think very two clear things. Firstly, to long for home. And secondly, to fear God. And that doesn't mean what you think it means. So let's firstly look at longing for home. We're to long to see Jesus face to face. Verse 13, "Therefore prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." Do you know that expression about Christians being too heavenly-minded to be of earthly use? Well, Peter would respectfully disagree. The root of holiness, of earthly use to God, is a mind full of heaven, longing to be at home with Jesus. "Set your hope fully," says Peter, "on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." And let's just recall, Peter was writing to Christians on the margins of society, distanced from one another, and they could see this Roman Empire like a tide set against Christianity, rising, threatening to overwhelm Christian belief and life. They felt the pressure of being Christians. What's the future going to hold? What will it cost to be a Christian? Will we be safe? How do we keep going? And of course, the same questions come up against Christians today. What does the future hold? What is it going to cost to be a Christian? And Peter says, there's only one thing to look forward to in the future that will keep you going. And it's not February half term on the ski slopes. It's longing for home, for being with Jesus. Peter says, set your hope on seeing Jesus. And of course, in the Bible, hope is not wishful thinking. No, it's certainty, not yet revealed. When my parents bought me my first bike with gears, it was my Christmas present. And yet I had the opportunity to go shopping with them a few weeks before Christmas to get the bike. So when I hoped for a bike for Christmas, I knew it was already in the garage, and I just couldn't see it yet. And for the Christian, it's the same hope that we have. We're just waiting to see Jesus face to face. It's a certainty. He is coming. And Peter says, are you longing for that day? Are you daydreaming about that day? Because when we're on the edge of throwing in the towel, walking out of Christian faith, becoming like the world around us, only the thought of that day will keep us going as followers of Jesus today. Because it will be another day of amazing grace. Peter says, on that day, his grace will be given to you. Jesus was all about grace, wasn't he? He fed the hungry, he healed the sick, he died and faced God's punishment for sin, so our sins could be forgiven. He made believers children of God, undeserved generosity, amazing generous giving. But we don't have the entirely full deal just yet, because the new creation is not open just yet. We don't see Jesus face to face yet. We still live in a world where injustice is rife, where sin is not finally beaten. But on that day, to anyone longing to see Jesus face to face, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant, come and share your master's happiness. Do you long for that day? Do you long to see Jesus? Because if truth be told, I think many of us, including me, find picturing being with Jesus quite hard. We can't imagine it. How will it be to be in a world where death is no longer a thing? Because this life always ends in death. There are enough unknowns, enough questions that we shy away from considering the future. Perhaps we're scared to. Perhaps we don't want to consider what we'll leave behind on this earth. But Peter says, dream lots. Long for being home with Jesus. We have no problem picturing the dream holiday. So let's picture being with Jesus. And for the things we don't understand, let's say, well, I've already trusted him with my forgiveness. Trusted him to take my sin. Trusted him with many things I don't understand. Let's trust him with the future we can't fully grasp. Let's long for home. It won't come naturally, and that's why Peter says, prepare your minds. It's like he's saying, roll up your shirt sleeves to think about it properly. I'm going to ask you to do that now. Perhaps this is going to feel a bit strange. Just take a moment to try to picture seeing Jesus on the day he returns. You might want to close your eyes. What will he look like? Will he be robed in glory, coming down from heaven, calling a people to himself? What will it be like to look Jesus in the eye? Just think about what he might say to you, and know it will be gracious. It will not be a negative comment. Perhaps he'll say, your sins are forgiven. Perhaps he'll say, I love you. Come and see the room I've prepared for you. What will it be like to see him face to face? Does that work for you? You can open your eyes if you close them. Is it helpful? We need to find a way of longing for home. How will we long for Jesus? I've got three things you could consider doing this week. Firstly, will you choose to have a family dinner time this week where the conversation is, what's it going to be like to be home with Jesus? A family dinner time. Secondly, could you take 5 minutes or maybe 3 minutes each day this week just considering, trying to picture what it's going to be like to see Jesus face to face, praying for God's help to picture that, praying for God's help to rejoice in that thought? Dinner time, praying. Or thirdly, could you schedule a chat with a friend this week where you just talk about life and one of you at some stage in the chat has the license to say, okay, what does being at home with Jesus, how does that affect your life here now, today? We must long for home, because when we see Jesus, we will be filled with overwhelming grace. And as we long for home, we will be enabled to be holy. We're to long for home. But secondly, we're also to fear God. And I'm at risk of undermining everything I've just said, aren't I? If we think fear is about being scared, cowering into a corner at the hands of an anxious bully, or concerned about God blowing hot and cold with a temper. But God is not a bully, nor is his temperament hot and cold. And so Peter says in verse 17, since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. It's not that God is going to kick us out of the home we're longing for. No, he is the same God who will reveal Jesus on that final day. No, fearing God means expecting God's loving discipline to keep us on track. It's always good, it's always gracious, his discipline, but we must still fear doing wrong in his eyes. I mean, let's try to imagine this. Can you imagine a sticky conversation between two very good friends or between a husband and wife? A conversation where you are most definitely in the wrong. And the friend or your spouse is saying to you, I've just been told that you said this about me. How could you have said that? How could you have said those words? How could you have acted that way with those people? As if our relationship counts for nothing. How could you have done that? I hope that you would rightly fear being in that situation, the discomfort, the shame, the guilt of knowing how you've wronged someone, and that it's absolutely right for them to challenge you. And you have to face up to your actions and the consequences. I hope you'd fear being in that situation. And yet that fear is such a helpful reaction to that possibility that it prevents us from doing and saying the wrong things which would cause that conversation to happen in the future. Well, as with close human relationships, so in our relationships with God. We don't want to have the conversation where he says, how could you say that about me? How could you act that way? It's not a fear that God will kick us out of our heavenly home. It's a fear that we just don't want to have to face him with a long list of sin. And yet when we get it wrong, because he's gracious, we confess our sin and he will be kind to us. He will forgive us. Longing for home, being with Jesus, is one side of the coin. And someone who is longing to be with Jesus will also fear having a face-to-face with God where they have to admit a long list of wrong things. It's a healthy fear, a fear which helps direct our actions, doesn't stifle us, but keeps us on the straight and narrow, being holy with God. And that is crucial for us to hear, just as it was for the people Peter wrote to, because the journey that we're on It's hard. It may well get harder. It will be so easy to fear what other people think of us. We will value their opinions too highly. We'll fear what they say about us. We'll fear what hurdles they put in our way to stop our careers progressing. And so we'll back out of standing for Jesus and being holy. But God says, don't fear them, fear me. Not because of my gavel coming down in judgment on you in the future, but because of the cost I've already borne for you. Do you see what Peter says? Why fear God? Because verse 18, you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. No one has a bigger claim on us. No one has done more for us. God has graciously nailed his colors to the mast, and so our fear for him is just, it's recognizing the cost he's already borne for us and acting accordingly. When will you next come under pressure from a family member or a friend or in a situation at work to throw in the towel and not be holy? Will you ask God in that moment to give you a right fear of him that helps you to stand up for him? Friends, we are on a journey. We are going home. Home is not where we are, but it's where we are going. The journey will not be easy. And so on that journey, God says, be holy, reflect me. But our focus is not firstly on what we are doing, but what we are thinking. Will you long for Jesus? Will you long to be at home with him? Will you fear God? Because friends, we need to help one another with that. I need your help, and I think you probably need each other's help. We all do. I'd love to be part of a church where our conversation over coffee is not just about the weather, but it's pointing one another to the future hope we have when we see Jesus. I'd love to be part of a church where we can ring up a friend in the middle of the week and talk seriously about spiritual things, about fearing God, rather than that to be uncomfortable. We'd love to be part of a church where outsiders come in and see that we are taking God so seriously that they want to know what makes us holy. So let's think. Let's long for home. Let's fear God. And let's pray that as we do those things, as a result, we are holy. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we thank and praise you that you are set apart, and yet you have chosen to give us new birth and to give us a new home to look forward to. Please would you make our entire church family shine for you in this world with holiness, and help us to play our part, to consider being at home with you, and to consider how we rightly fear you. In Jesus' name, amen.